Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 19th on the West Coast, now April the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all those listening this evening on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, I had a chance today to visit for a good hour and 20 minutes with my good friend Drew Malone Raines III on his A Marine's Disquisition, and I got to do a sort of a sneak preview of my most recent Eisenhower research and a lot of research on what was going on in Denison, Texas, from a period of 1942 to 1972. So there's about 30 years worth of historical research involved in this. And I came to the conclusion that in Eisenhower's parting speech, which he gave to the cadets at U.S. Army's educational center for their Army cadets at West Point, he warned us of an impending military-industrial complex, or at least it appeared that he warned us, but I've come to the conclusion that that comment in that speech was nothing more than a signal to those around the world who profit from the wars that are created and this monster, this beast called the military-industrial complex, that it actually had been completed and installed into the United States. And that will become clear when you read a new article that should be out in a very short time. Now, I'd promised this some time ago, and yet this investigation kept expanding and expanding and expanding, and it's ballooned to a point now where if I don't post it on my website, there won't be room on the website for the whole thing. So I've got lots of documents for you, my readers and listeners, to peruse that definitely show that what I've written and what I bring forth is based on actual happenings, at least in terms of mail communications between a character who arranged for a fraudulent birth certificate for Dwight David Eisenhower, or David Dwight Eisenhower, or Johann Adolf Eisenhower, as I know of him from my research. So that's something that's forthcoming. Now, we've got a lot of craziness going on around the world as we speak. Iceland has a volcano that's spewing out massive amounts of ash that are allegedly clogging up the jets, or would cause a massive failure of jets. So many of the major airlines have been grounded. Now, there's word out, and I suspected this when I first heard the story, that someone probably paid or bet a lot of money on put options. And I heard that a story had come out of Russia to that effect. That may be true, may not be true. We're going to look into it and see what we can come up with. Certainly, we welcome any information that our listening audience or readers of my website, directlightproductions.com, may want to share in that regard. Nevertheless, they can do these things. They can create earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and all sorts of anomalies with the weather patterns and with geological structure. So I don't put it past them. We're going to talk about many of these things and basically whatever our guests tonight would like to share with you, the listening audience. I have two guests. My regular Monday night guest has been Dr. A. Truat for the past several months, and he's with us again tonight, and also Dr. Mike Castle. So I'm going to bring both gentlemen on at the same time. True, good evening, and Dr. Mike, hello.
Well, good evening, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show again. And, your research in Denison is amazing, how it involves Salt Lake City as well. And, kind of an amazing coincidence, I would say.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, the genealogies basically track the real estate transactions and other financial ventures. So they're not really there for people to look up their ancestors so much as they are for them to track, let's say, kind of speculative financial schemes that are going on. Ponzi schemes is a good term for that.
Uh-huh.
I knew you would see something there that probably wouldn't surprise you a whole lot, knowing what you know about the Mormon Church. So
yeah, especially what I uncovered with that file that came into my hands in the 80s, which I eventually got into the hands of John Kennedy Jr., by the way. And a few months after I gave the file to him, he personally phoned me, and the evidence was so strong linking the involvement with George Herbert Walker Bush with the murder of his father that he was actually in the process of setting up a federal grand jury to present the evidence. And was very confident he would get an indictment of murder. But the other players in that whole file involved key Mormon church figures that were tied into the Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes had a stake in the whole John F. Kennedy situation. So yeah, it's quite an amazing document.
Yes. Well, we also have with us, as I just said, Dr. Mike Castle. Mike, how are you this evening,
sir? I'm very good. Thank you very much, Don, for having me on your show again tonight. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm already got my popcorn right here, you know. And I will say, true, that, and good evening, all these roads, it seems like the yellow brick road always goes towards Utah. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, it does. In so many ways, which we really can't even talk about on the show. Not all of which I speak here.
You know, it went to Kansas too, more than once. I mean, we had it with the short-legged Mac Daddy. You do realize that we're now calling him the short-legged Mac Daddy because we've seen him without his 3-inch platforms on. So, and he's really not all that tall. So, I felt it appropriate to sort of modify Pastor James David Manning's nickname a little bit. And I'm sure he won't mind.
Believe it or not, I heard that on one of the mainstreams.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Long-legged or short-legged?
Short-legged.
Oh, well, we have
some. I thought, hey, you know, people are listening up.
All right. Well, you know, there are absolute parallels between the two stories. How two infiltrators got into the government. Without birth certificates, which should have disqualified them right away. I should say certificate of live birth is the prerequisite, and they have to be able to prove that they were born on this soil. Neither one could do that. And that really nullifies or voids all the laws that they've created. And I have some good closing comments in my next article in that regard. And I really think that our solutions probably be found in that. True, what's been going on lately? I've been listening to your show. I know the topics that you've been covering, and it's a recurring topic that hasn't really been dealt with by law enforcement nor by the government. In fact, they're in the midst of what you've been discussing on your show.
Well, yes, it's interesting. We've really been hammering the child abuse allegations, and not only the pedophilia of these Catholic priests, but going into the darkest rituals you could imagine. And there's considerable pressure now, as you know, being put on His Eminence, Mr. Ratzinger, the Pope Benedict, as he's called now. The tears he shed in public, I'm not contrite tears. The pressure is mounting. The exposing of this cancer is coming full circle. So I think in some small way we're having a part to play with this.
Yes, they had the opportunity, what, maybe 10 years ago or so, to right the ship, if that's the right term, and make amends for what they've done, and certainly compensate many of the victims who have suffered tremendously. I know some victims personally that were in churches in Ohio or in New York where they underwent much of the pedophilia that was described on your recent shows.
Right.
And the fact that this was poo-pooed. I heard the statement they read about the Pope. Now, whether he actually said that or not, we don't know, because they always seem to have to narrate for us what is being said. I speak Italian, I speak French, I speak German, I speak English, and certainly he could, in one of those languages, tell us what his stance has been on that. But they leave the power of these decisions in the hands of the bishops who are condoning this, who are permitting this to occur.
Right.
And not just in the United States, all over the world this is going on. Do you want to comment on that at all? Or?
Well, no, exactly. That's what we're uncovering. But we've had eyewitnesses come forward that Cardinal Ratzinger, who, of course, was appointed by Pope John Paul to be the investigator and that of these ritual abuse allegations, and also, you know, the outright pedophilia of the young boys, and it's totally evident now that this man covered everything up and kept a lid on it completely, and now it's the birds are coming home to roost, so to speak, and it's quite amazing to see it happen. And we talked on the show today, on my show, The Story Behind the Story. My two guests were just excellent. Actually, three guests. Doug Millar arranged for them. Mr. Rothstein.
Absolutely.
Came on, and Hoppy Heidelberg, and who's got an amazing story about he was on this grand jury that was investigating the Oklahoma City bombing and the charges against McVeigh and Nichols, and the obfuscation, the actual blocking of justice was just phenomenal. What went on there, the evidence that there were a total of two massive bombs in the basement area of the Murrah building, that one of them just didn't even detonate, and all the evidence showed, of course, the outward blast. The request from the grand jury to see videotaped evidence of surveillance cameras, including the van, the supposed bombing van driven by McVeigh, the surveillance camera was there, showed the people getting in and out of it. The inside sources said they were men of Middle Eastern descent, not McVeigh in any way, shape, or form, and yet all this evidence was suppressed. And when Hoppy went to press the issue for, you know, with the written request, he was fired from the grand jury. He was relieved of duty, and his life was threatened. And the story just goes on and on. Now, what's amazing is that the story today dealt with the anniversary, today being April 19th. Most people don't realize that April 19th of 93 was when the incredible disaster at Waco occurred, 17 little children were killed in that terrible government attack, and it happens to be just 17 years to the day. So we did a little memorial honoring the 17 children dead there. And then 2 years later, on April 19th of 1995, the bombs at the Murrow Building went off. And if you research April 19th,
Go ahead.
it's a date of a sacrifice to the pagan satanic god Moloch, and in particular, it calls for the burning of children and the death of children, innocents, on that day. And so it just the children killed at Waco. Well, no effort was really made at all to get the children out. They didn't make any offers to the women and children who were innocent to come out before they did the firebombing, the CS gases. And of course, all the children that were there in the daycare in the Murrow Building, I'm not exactly sure how many, but I think it's like something like 28, 29 young children there in the preschool nursery. So today was a kind of a day to recognize the darkness and the planned events of this day being tied to the Satanism of the Ram, the Baphomet god or Moloch, as it's called, and just really what the significance is. It just wasn't coincidence that those things happened.
Now, I think, as I recall, Waco, there were a total of 75 people that were killed, and I think you were right about the number. It was 28 or 29 children.
Right.
In regard to the Murrah building, there was a shot on the initial broadcast being shown on CNN where you could see an unexploded bomb that was hanging from what looked like a cable on the second story opening. And they hit the finance offices there, just like they did the Pentagon finance offices on 9/11, and in New York, of course, that those whole buildings were finance offices.
Right.
So that was intended to obfuscate records of many types that were there in that building, and they figured they would make a sacrifice out of it at the same time. And yes, you are right about April 19th. That's a special satanic day for them to pull these events. Hardly known to Middle Easterners, hardly known to someone like Tim McVeigh and Terry Nichols, unless they themselves were Satanists, but they were patsies like Lee Harvey Oswald and the 19 alleged Arab box cutter wielding hijackers from Al-Qaeda. More fiction and more spin. Mike, do you want to comment on any of this?
Yeah, I was going to say also that, True, didn't I hear your guest, in fact, also say that, I think it was Hopi or Hoppy, said that one of the things was that all the Whitewater records were there at the Murrah Building.
Yes, that's
And that's
correct.
The first time I'd ever heard that. That's the first time I heard that, and I just thought, now we can connect those dots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Plus, we have there was an incredible international trial just beginning there, according to Bill Cooper. I'd interviewed him a few years after the event. At night, it was 97, and he was he had inside intelligence of the case of Jonathan May, who is a British citizen. He appeared on the scene in the early 90s with some documents that basically showed that his English family, which was of course tied to royalty, had a prior claim to the area of the so-called Louisiana Purchase, which would include most of Texas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma, the panhandle. And what Jonathan May was basically bringing to the table was a documentation, proof of, you know, that really France didn't have the right to sell the Louisiana Purchase. It was actually deeded to to his family from quite a long drawn out purchase, but the trust documents that he brought in were valid, and so he was proposing to set up a huge financial trust we called the Sodalita Trust, and the idea was to basically take all of the natural resources of Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and especially all the oil and oil royalties, and basically set up another international bank to counterbalance the Federal Reserve. Now, according to Bill Cooper, the original trust documents, the trial was to begin there at the Murrow Building, and the original trust documents were brought in a day or two before the bomb went off, about April 15th, about tax day. So there you go. I mean, that to me is a strong motive, of course. The bomb completely destroyed all the original documentation of invalidating the Louisiana Purchase and setting up the competitor to the Federal Reserve private bank.
Yes. And it's no coincidence. In fact, the Murrah Building allegedly held the records of Agent Orange victims, and word has it that the Operation Paperclip documents were stored there as well. Just based on its proximity to places like Shawnee, Oklahoma, where Admiral Wilhelm Canaris, under the name of Samuel Randall Pittman, was teaching law at Oklahoma Baptist University, and the proximity to Tinker Air Force Base, which was being used by what I surely recognize as a fascist, communist, underground spy network, and actually with the knowledge of the U.S. government. We were funding the Soviets since 1942. In their participation in World War II. So all of this stuff ties together. Evidently,
that's what Hoppe said, by the way. The evidence that he had found after he was relieved of duty at the grand jury, the individual that was the prime suspect rather than McVeigh was a gentleman. I didn't catch the name, but he basically said that he had tied him into the Russian embassy in Mexico City as providing the funding for this whole operation.
Yes.
So we have the Russian embassy at that time involved deeply in this project.
Yes, and in my next Eisenhower piece, I basically lay out the various Ponzi schemes and scams that were conducted with the cooperation of public officials in Texas, such as governors, secretaries of state, the state senators, congressmen in Washington, and U.S. senators as well, who were in a ring together. And I came to the conclusion that Eisenhower himself infiltrated the Republican Party as a mock Republican candidate. He ran on their ticket, yes, but that didn't make him a Republican. Everyone he dealt with behind the scenes was a Democrat.
Huh.
With communist ties. And it's going to blow some minds what I come out with. There is the documentation, as I mentioned at the top of the show, to support that. So,
Don, I'm going to nominate you also for a peace prize.
A peace prize?
Yeah, gee, but it's Christmas. And I said also because Dr. Ott also, in fact, is going to be nominated. All you men and what you're doing and what you're uncovering here, it's so at the edge of everything. And Drew, can I ask you a question about today's interview on your show?
Sure.
Did they ever mention the word Mossad? And
they did not, but they did mention CIA. Which of course is a wing of the Mossad, the
right.
Agency. Yeah.
Yes. Just for our listeners' sake, I've come to the conclusion that all the intelligence agencies, whether they're called MI6 or Mossad or Sayeret Mattal or CIA, and to an extent the FBI, there is an underground branch of the FBI that works in conjunction with these agencies. They're all serving the same paymaster, and we know who that is. So, publicly they like to blame each other because it keeps the people divided nationally as well as internally. You have opposing political ideologies warring with each other, and that's all a front. The struggle behind the scenes with these bloodlines, those that like to call themselves elite, there's really nothing elite about them. They're corrupt. It's organized crime, masking as altruistic, benevolent political leadership. And they are nothing of the sort. And
no, they're actually they're a life form, but it's scum.
Yes. I'd like to take a couple of minutes, gentlemen, if I could impose upon you and the listening audience to listen to a clip that someone sent me of a jaywalking episode on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And this is a history lesson. And I would like to talk about the overall consciousness of the mainstream American public and their knowledge of history. You wonder why they have trouble grasping some of these topics. Have a listen, if you would.
You know, people should know this stuff. So first up, some best moments from the people we've met in the last 17 years of jaywalking. Take a look. Well, we went out in the street the other night. We did a little jaywalking.
What country would you find the Panama Canal?
I have no clue.
In what country would you find the Great Wall of China?
It would probably be most likely China.
China, is it? Okay, what country would you find the Panama Canal?
China.
Who was the first man on the moon?
Armstrong.
That's right. What was his first name?
Louis
Armstrong. Can you name two of the founding fathers?
Founding fathers of what?
Two of the founding fathers.
Oh. Who was the first president of the United States? Benjamin Franklin. You know that?
No. Who was the famous French emperor that has a pastry named after him?
Is that creme brulee?
No. Creme brulee. General creme brulee. Who fiddled while Rome burned?
Who fiddled?
While Rome burned.
Fiddled?
Yeah.
Fiddled with what?
How many commandments are there?
10.
Can you name any of them?
Freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech.
What is the opening line of the Bible?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
No, I'm sorry. So close. What was the Gettysburg Address? Have you heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it. I don't know the exact address.
You don't know the exact address.
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our forefathers...
Who are in heaven.
I see them. It's a flag right up there. See that one?
Mm-hmm.
How many stars on that flag?
It's moving too fast to count them.
I got some lyrics here. You think you can finish them for me?
Sure.
Okay. Here's a Jimmy Buffett song. If the phone doesn't ring...
Don't answer it.
No, I'm sorry, sir. No. You have a pickup truck?
Sure I do.
Dog?
Ford.
Ford dog. They're very good. Finish the sentence. From little acorns, mighty blanks do grow. From little acorns...
Squirrels.
Mighty squirrels. Sometimes you feel like a blank, sometimes you don't.
That's on Thursdays.
Yeah, all right, that's good. Who wrote the autobiography of Malcolm X?
Couldn't tell you.
Who wrote the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin?
Couldn't tell you. Who would write your autobiography?
That'd have to be my friend Justin.
So you go to a party, it's BYOB. What does that mean? Bring your own bitch. Bring your own bitch. I can't help that.
Okay. You ever call AAA?
No, I don't drink.
Menage a trois.
I'm not sure.
I had a hunch. What separates your inner ear from your outer ear?
Your brain, right?
This is a very famous African American. Who is it?
I don't know him.
You know him?
No.
No?
Never.
Colon?
Cleanser.
What president was named Tricky Dick?
Tricky Dick?
Yeah.
Bill Clinton?
Finish this expression. Rivalry is. You have that expression?
I haven't heard that one either. Never.
What is the biggest state in the union?
Texas.
I don't know. Alaska. He has a clue.
No, I don't know.
What? The biggest state in the union is, wait a minute, I don't know, Alaska.
Not catching on, I'm knowing you're excited about
Alaska. I don't know, Alaska.
Alaska.
Alaska. Where do they speak Gaelic?
Gaelic?
Gaelic.
In San Francisco?
What country's border the United States?
Countries border the United States?
We border, you know, on each side.
Australia?
Australia. And what else?
We got Hawaii.
I can't do this anymore.
Now, there's an example of the knowledge that the average American has. This is just someone you meet on the street. There was one person who was asked a question that was actually written on their T-shirt.
Every one of those had to have been on drugs of some sort.
Including Jay Leno?
Including Jay Leno.
Well, it really is indicative of how this country's been dumbed down, Don. Leno makes a mockery of it, and it's a joke, but it's not exaggerated. You take a look at the college entry examinations of the 1940s. I'm telling you that those questions on such things as math, algebra, trigonometry, world history, it's the level that college graduates now would have a hard time answering. We've just been systemically brought down to the point where there's no more critical thinking. And again, people just are so hypnotized by the boob tube, by the media, that they just don't think deeply enough. And so they're able to get away with the Murrah building bombing and blaming it on a lackey. They're able to get away with the 9/11 demolition. And it goes on and on. They're able to sell us a socialized Nazi health care plan and pretty much get away with it.
Well, yeah. I don't know that they've sold it to us. They've basically shoved it down our throat.
Well, actually, that's technically accurate, Don. Because the more ingestion of fluoride, and in fact fluoride in the drinking water, all the fluorosis and the plaquing that, in fact, takes place with the aluminum that's in the chemtrails, working in synergism actually to plaque certain regions of the brain, and that, in fact, is the same as dumbing down. I mean, that's just exactly how it works. And as you said, they get away with it because there's nothing outrageous about it, maybe at the time, but then everybody just forgets about it. You know, and it just goes on from there. So the public, in fact, is so sucked into that matrix, many of them will never, ever, ever come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's those whom amongst us, in fact, are coming out of it, have been out of it. And, you know, we're getting more people to come out. And those are the ones that, in fact, are going to survive. There'll be a whole bunch more come.
Yes, yes. Some of the answers were very creative. What country is Gaelic spoken in? And the answer was San Francisco.
Well, it...
I thought BYOB was classical.
Yes.
It is
funny. Those of us that really know the answers can laugh, you see. And you know, these people are miffed, totally miffed, even when you give the person the answer. The Alaska. You know, the guy was, you know, he had a quizzical look on his face. Certainly the video adds a little bit more humor to it, but, you know, the flag that the girl said it was moving too much, she couldn't count the stars, was the American flag. Okay, so, well, I would have followed up with, well, can you try the stripes? You know.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a sad, sad deal. And some of those other, you know, jaywalking episodes where they just, he shows them pictures of people in government. This was back during the Bush administration, I saw. And they had no clue. And it was not just one or two, but the vast majority of people that he, you know, wanted to talk to him about current affairs had no idea. No idea.
Well, he showed this one young girl a picture of Colin Powell, and then she was miffed about his name, and he said colon, and she said cleanser.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Well, you know, this mind control has existed ever since the era of Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
The same mind control has existed, but in different forms. And, you know, it just, isn't that the amazing part of it? That this just, but see, it got the wicked influence. It got that darkness that flowed into it. That's what gave it its strength.
Mm-hmm.
And everything about it, in fact, is powered by just that type of darkness. And it just continues to, in fact, point to certain directions. And then, true, what you, in fact, uncovered about the futuristic place of everyday life is going to be right there at a new facility by the NSA at Fort Williams.
Right.
And I think that there's where all the control will go to, and people, I'll tell you, you just ain't going to like what's going to come out of this machine.
Oh, for sure.
Not gonna like what it's going to make you do.
Yeah. You know, true, I was following leads out of Denison, Texas, and I stumbled, you know, when you enter these names in Google and you go on a search looking for information on a person to see if you can find out what they did or where they worked or who was in their family, you know, you're looking for common denominators to connect dots, basically. And it took me to a rather obscure document that is alleged to be a cemetery document from Utah, okay? And it names Salt Lake City and Bountiful and Cedar City, primarily. Those are the listings. And if you logically analyze what is in this list, you have the name of a person, surname followed by their first name, and in some cases, middle name or middle initial, and their birth date. Then their birthplace is listed. Now, a lot of people have Bountiful, Utah, or Salt Lake City, or Cedar City, and once in a while, a town in another state. And then you have the death date, and the death date is encoded differently than the birth date. The numbers are separated, and the day of the month is put in front of the month, and then the year follows. Whereas in the first list, where the birth dates are, they go by the month, the day of the month, and then the year. So there are two different patterns being followed within this document, and I allege that these are money laundering documents, that they have more to do with real estate acquisitions or Ponzi schemes, derivatives, hedge funds, annuities, mining, exploration, things of that nature. And they don't at all describe what it is. Certainly, there are no cemetery plots described. So why would someone keep a list like that? Well, I started checking some of the names, and I could tie them into Denison very quickly. In fact, I found that they would use the women's names to tie these fictitious families together across the country. And following up this morning, I had a hunch to follow up a name that I couldn't find anywhere. And I found it on this list. And when I went down the rabbit hole on one of the individuals, I found some extraordinary connections to military intelligence and the space program and a naval base in the state of Utah. Now, where is there a naval base in Utah that you're aware of?
Well, Great Salt Lake is too salty.
Exactly. But, well, it's an underground base is what it is, you see.
Uh-huh.
They don't name the base. They say he worked at the naval base immediately when he came out of World War II. And he was a tool and die manufacturer, and he made instruments for hospitals and medical facilities. And he was involved in the missile program and nuclear devices, explosives. Then his daughter is in the same business. And they're bragging about their position in the Mormon Church. You have these two contradictions. You have someone who's presenting themselves as this upright member of a religious organization, and at the same time, they're masterminding how to blow up millions of people in one fell swoop. Such contradictions of purpose. And of course, I can tie this in. This list definitely ties in with the military industrial complex, which was the core of my research and what I was looking at. So it was an amazing find, and it raises a lot of questions. You know, we have these two extremes. We have these people who know nothing about any of this stuff on the most elementary level. You know, the first president was Benjamin, and then he pauses, Franklin. Wasn't he the second president, as I recall? No. You get the point, but here we have this other extreme. We have this all this secret stuff that's going on, and these people are literally involved in the most evil projects that mankind could conceive. Or were they conceived by mankind? That would be the question. Anyone want to answer that?
Well, Mike, go ahead.
Well, I've been asked I don't know how many times, is this the Great Deception? I said, you decide, you know, because it could and could not. I mean, but it's been played out for so many generations and centuries, and it just boggles the mind when you're trying to put your mind around how all this stuff just flowed together. I've said before, I think somebody came back and remote viewed what was going to happen, what we were going to do, and what they ended up doing, and that's the game we're in. I really think that, but anyways. You know, Don, the thing that you had, in fact, we talked about on the phone just today was so many things. There was just such a unique relationship to names that, like, just kind of, like, dropped out of the air when you and I were talking. We were talking about Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was talking about seeing a show on TV, Jeremiah Johnson, and I had never watched that show before because I really became just infatuated with Robert Redford as an actor or anything else way back when he made Big Hoss Little Halsey. And then I heard some stuff about him, and I just didn't really like the guy anymore because of his attitude, his philosophy of life, and got the people he hung around with in real life. But when I said Jeremiah, I mean, that triggered something because that was Robert Redford. And you started making connections from that point on with some of these tracks that you've taken with it was the Larkin family. And then from the Larkin, you got that
Van Wagner was actually the name that was related to him. I was actually doing genealogy on The Genealogist. Okay.
Right.
And I said something to the effect of, this town has to be near a casino. And it was. It was near three major casinos in Nevada. And then I found all kinds of obscure companies. This guy's a private investigator, security, gold. There's mention of a gold mine, which is a little bit different from security. And so it fit the mold of what these lists represent. And what revelation this is going to bring to people is how all of the public funding that we're paying for has been siphoned off a circuitous route into the hands of foreign governments operating within the borders of this country. For years and years and years, this has gone on. And I was asked a question on Drew's show today, what should we do about this? We have to identify who our enemies are if we're going to know how our enemies are going to be defeated, regardless of what rhetoric or media spin they want to put on what they do or what names they want to call us. The truth is the truth, and these things have to come out. People are going to have to deal with the fact that these things happened. Now, the people on this clip that I played from Jay Leno's show couldn't care less. Okay? They're still trying to figure out the answers to those questions they were asked within that clip. So bless their souls, love them for who they are, and we have to come up with solutions ourselves. We've got to make decisions and make choices, our own choices, instead of letting criminals make them for us. It's as simple as that. It's not too complicated. Go ahead. I hear somebody wants to say something.
Well, no, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm nodding my head, and my earphone's probably hitting my ear. But you know, it's coming to critical mass, Don. As we've talked many times, the building of this new NSA facility, utilizing the nanotechnology, those nanobots. I just received a document of one of the funding elements of Obamacare. There's a new nanobot transponder chip that the most hospitals will be equipped with by 2014, about the same target date, you know, as Obamacare really starts taking that, where they can scan your body because you'll have chips in your body, and it will basically do a diagnostic and record everything in the main central data bank. That is just absolutely unconscionable to me, Don. Every semblance of privacy is out the window with this. And we've talked about this. The ramifications of Obamacare to me 100% is not about the healthcare situation. It's about tracking and controlling every man, woman, and child, or face stiff fines and or jail sentences if you refuse. This is being tracked by the Internal Revenue Service, which again is a private corporation. It's not public, just like the Federal Reserve is not not public, it's private. The IRS is a privately held corporation. And yet, the way this is shaping up, Don, it's got to come to a head. And like you said at the first of the show, if in fact the agenda and the programs put out by the short-legged Mac Daddy, if he's really not the president, then everything is moot and invalid. We need to come forward now as a nation before it's too late. It's just the
I
way
agree.
It is.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I agree. Absolutely.
You know,
agree.
What they're doing with the mortgages, do you realize that securitization, especially by the government, is totally illegal? This is nothing but an organized racketeering enterprise. This falls under the RICO statutes. What they're doing in the stock markets, lumping all these massive amounts of real estate and betting, putting put options on them, promising people that they're going to get 500 or 800% a month, some are told, in returns on these investments. This is all illegal. And everybody's saying, well, you know, should I get into the stock market? Should I consider buying maybe some blue chips? And I hear people on mainstream radio advising these people, well, you know, you've got to be able to sit on these stocks for a long period of time because they're lower risk. And the caller asks, well, how long is a long time? And they say, well, 30 to 40 years. How old are you now? In other words, they're planning on giving you this money back when you're retired or maybe ready to go into a nursing home or just stay at home and have a nurse take care of you in your own home. This is what society is coming to, and what you're describing about these nanochips sounds to me like the same way the reptilians control the grays.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
Is there any difference, really?
There may not be, but and the thing that has been found already about the, let's just call it the nanobot technology, besides being able to smother the entire neural network, every nerve in your body, put a nice thin, put a really nice, just exacting nano coating on top of that. And it's just all of them hanging together like a bunch of ants. Those, in fact, can also go to any part of the body that is so desired and target it and give you cancer, and you can be dead within 2 days.
Well,
it's the artificial disease machines.
Yeah, we know people that this has happened to, maybe
absolutely.
Not in 2 days, maybe 2 weeks.
You get a heart attack,
yeah,
just like that.
Yeah.
I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, and they're not going to admit it. Well, there's obviously a solution right there. It's, you don't get it. Oh, you're going to fine me? You're going to imprison me? Where do these people get this authority?
Right. Why aren't there some arrests being made right now with Dodd trying to push to get that reform, that financier reform thing posted? I mean, jammed through? Don't people get it that is just nothing more than an absolute ultimate continuum of bailout funding for the banks? The pirates will continue to reign. Why aren't there arrests being made right now? Because you mentioned illegal there a moment ago about all these other things. But that is so illegal, it just stinks to high. It doesn't, maybe it's a little bit higher than heaven. I'm not certain. But it just, it's the most repulsive, repugnant thing, because it's right in our face. It's right in plain sight. It's right in front of us. And there, the Jay Leno, the jaywalking syndrome rules. It really does. I mean, and because we're all, virtually all of us are in the same way. But there's a number of us out here shaking our fist and raising our swords. And we're just saying, these people need to be arrested.
Yeah. Why?
Not voting, arrested.
Why is there no murder investigation of 9/11? Why is there no murder investigation of Texas?
Of Waco.
Texas. Or the Oklahoma City bombing at the Murrah building. Or Ruby Ridge. Why were there no investigations? And for countless other murders. The editor and publisher of the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins, was murdered. Why are there no investigations?
Why are there no investigations? And I think we've all put those names around for a very long time, as I did with William Rodriguez. When I heard of this man and heard him speak, it was that day that I knew that I knew that I knew. And man, did that ever make me have a really bad day. I just took me forever to get over that they, in fact, could arrange this thing and slide it through, and it was people that we voted for. It was people that we thought we could trust. But, you know, how can you commit an act like that? It goes beyond the magnitude of the word treason. There is no magnitude, in fact, to describe what has transpired just since 9/11. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And people's readiness to give away their power to criminals. You know, would you give your bank account to a common criminal? You know, would you give the bank account numbers or your credit cards or your debit card, your checkbook? Would you just hand it over and say, you know, you look like you're a little down on your luck lately. I know you're a criminal because I've seen you commit some crimes. And word has it that you murdered some people and were let out of prison early. Here, just take all this. Take it. What does that accomplish? You still have to face the issue, you see. Someone telling you what you must do. So if it's about losing money or making money, and that is the criteria for you to make such life-changing decisions, such important decisions, and your values need to be readjusted, certainly. Your understanding of why you're here. And of course, not many people even give that a second thought. Any time in their life, why they're here. They just move through life, sort of aimlessly.
Well, yeah. Alaska?
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of them are doing. But that's well within the 80% that have no clue what to do, and in most cases probably don't really care. That shrinks the percentage of that 80. But I think that's the matrix, and it's very intentional and very purposeful. And if you start taking pharmaceutical drugs, you might as well just go ahead and punch yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
That is the pharmaceutical dagger that is at everybody's throat in this country. And even if you say, I'm never going to take pharmaceutical drugs, they can force it on you. They're talking about this vaccination right here in this county where I'm at. And, you know, the public health service person, in fact, Teresa is her name. Yeah, she's forcing this, and we just heard on the announcement on the news the other night that before the kids get to go back to school next year, they've mandatory vaccination. And I believe it's herpes. A mandatory vaccination for young children. And my response is, people, this is the nanobot shot. They're going to get that in these children one way or another. And I just hope Teresa is listening. Because
yeah.
We are planning on lighting a fire underneath that woman.
I don't know if it was on your show, True, that I heard a caller call in talking about a daughter getting a vaccine in each leg. Was that on your show?
Oh, yes. We have had a regular updates on the vaccine issues. And yes, indeed, there's been so many deaths the HPV vaccine now, that it outstrips completely any death by Toyota's so-called stuck accelerators, which is a whole other story. But yet, you know, you have young girls dying and being crippled and maimed for life with this Gardasil vaccine, yet it's not recalled. It's not being brought up and forced to pay $16 million in fines because it's just, you know, it's a sacred cow of Big Pharma, which says a lot about the whole government operation.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Toyota. I heard something about Toyota having developed a completely electric-powered automobile that's under production in France.
Uh-huh. Well,
and
keep in mind that Pons and Fleischmann, the cold fusion pioneers of the University of Utah, when they announced the cold fusion in the laboratory and were basically brought down by the establishment, it was Toyota to step forward and built them a complete research lab in France. And the workings of the cold fusion hydrocell are very close to coming out as well. You know, I've said this many times, the smoking gun just keeps getting more and more evident, Don, that you've got these stock accelerators in these cars, so-called, and it's not just a certain, you know, brand or a model. It's anything from the RAV4 to the whatever model, okay? It's across the board. Now, the accelerator units, you know, the pedals are different for each of these models. So how do you justify it you know, being a problem? Well, the engineers that have been grilled on Capitol Hill, the schematics they've presented in these congressional hearings, all point that it's not a mechanical failure at all, but has to do with something in the electronic ignition, which in turn is controlled by the little black box, that in turn is controlled by computer programming that's tied to the federal government and eventually the NSA. No stretch of the imagination to see how easy that would be to hack in by NSA operatives and cause random acceleration problems. Now, who wins with that? Well, if the General Motors stock was owned in private hands rather than public Nazis like Obama and the car czars, well, there would be no motive there. But look who's positioned to reap just literally billions in increased profits if the market share of Toyota is taken over by General Motors, which appears to be what's happening. The stocks and market value, market share of Toyota stock is in a free fall right now.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're always
true, the U.S. congressman just sat there and just say, like, oh, well, they say nothing. They say nothing. No one says anything about this thing that is, in fact, completely obvious to the rest of the entire world of what they're doing. They're, in fact, just they're picking off their competitor, and they're doing it with the technology that's installed that, in fact, does the same thing with the weather. But they're controlling all this through the Gwen Towers and satellites and their same weaponry that's using. They're giving your car a virus, and the computer just goes crazy with the accelerator and the electronic system there, which is all computer-controlled. So it's just another example of how you, in fact, take them down, and you win. Lots of money. More money. More money.
Yeah, General Motors has their OnStar computer system. If you're in your car and you're subscribed to OnStar and you're out in the boonies somewhere and happen to lock your car, keys in your car, well, they can remote control unlock your car and even start your motor for you. Well, if that type of technology is available, make no mistake, the black box that controls and regulates everything can be hacked into.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you know, when I heard about this volcano, the first thing that went through my mind was put options in the airline industry again. And there was a report, I don't have it, but I heard about it, that was describing a massive amount of put options that had been played on the European airlines losing business. I heard another report about the air that was being tested and this ash, and it was exposing a chemical not normally found in volcanic eruptions. I don't know how valid that is, but it seems to fit the pattern here.
What was it?
I didn't get a specific description of it. It just alludes to the fact that there were some substances in the air that were spewing out of this volcano that were unlike any other volcano in existence. So
volcano spewing out barium, aluminum, and thorium, right?
Well, I don't know specifically what it was, only that it was very anomalous with, you know, there might have been some Viagra in there, for all we know. You know, anything to stiffen up those turbines. it's just pathetic, the criminality that's going on. And you know, we really have to begin focusing our efforts in creative solutions and just stay fixed on that, and stop falling for their fear tactics.
Right.
That's primarily what all this is. It's more illusions, more smoke and mirrors designed to make more money. Oh, what's the penalty for not following a dictator's orders? You're going to have that problem in any country with a dictator, right? So the question is, are you going to stand up to a dictatorship, or are you going to lie down?
Well, actually, if I can answer that, I've been standing up a long time before that dude ever came in town.
I've
been in battle long before his name was in the lights.
We all have, for that matter.
All have.
Yes.
So he doesn't bother me a bit. Matter of fact, I still don't use his name. I still don't see his image, and I still don't listen to what he's got to say. Because as far as I'm concerned, the man is a punk. Period. He's a punk. You know what punks are.
Yes. Yeah, and the whole nation.
Not even a classy punk, man. Really not even classy.
The whole nation has been punked, too. There's a TV show about that.
Seriously. It's what happened.
Yeah, literally. Well, gentlemen, we're about out of time. This certainly is an interesting discussion, and we brought a few of the current events to the forefront of human consciousness. Now, what are we going to do about these things? I want you to give out your website, if you would, and mention your show, The Story Behind the Story, and let our listeners know how they can tune in to listen, and any guests you want to mention that are coming on the show this week.
Well, this week I'm doing some traveling again, Don, and I need to have you on the show again and talk about your Denison, Texas, and Utah connections. I think that's a fascinating topic, and we can sure make some hay grow with that one. So maybe we'll have you on Wednesday if you're available.
This Wednesday, let's see, I was going to play my 34th round of golf during the presidency. No, of course, I would be very honored to come on the show.
Let's just plan on it. Of course, Dr. Mike will be guest hosting for me the next two Fridays while I am traveling, and he's graciously did that for me. So,
yeah, I appreciate that much, too.
The time of the show was from 12 till 2 p.m. Mountain Time, which is, of course, 2 to 4 on the East Coast and 11 to 1 on the West Coast. And Central Time, you just figured out. Republic Broadcasting Network, the show's called The Story Behind the Story. My website is www.memotherearthminerals.com. And golly, you know, it just continues to amaze me as things are unfolding, Don. It's we're slowly but surely getting quite a big audience. So it's just it's a great honor to be with you, of course, every Monday, and look forward to it continuing.
Well, it's an honor to have you on, and I have to let you know, too, that I've gotten a lot of email complimenting the topics, and that includes you, Dr. Mike, as well. Folks are really listening in, tuning into the show, your show as well as my show when you're on, and they say that it's one of the highlights of their week, the vast amount of information that's coming out. And so you need to know that there are many, many people. And yes, the numbers are growing, which is great. That's a very positive sign, especially when considering all this this darkness that we have to talk about. Dr. Mike, I know you don't have a website, but I'm for the listeners, I'm featuring some of your writings on my website, directlightproductions.com. And you're featured on some other sites, and you will be guest hosting for Dr. Ott the next two Fridays. Any idea who your guests are going to be?
Yes, and I do appreciate you having me on your show again tonight with True. I'm very honored to be in the midst of men that do investigations and speak of your findings and be not fearsome, because that's where they get you, is when they shut you up. So, and they've got all different kinds of methodologies to continue to obfuscate everything, but that's okay. We just pick up our sword and just keep swinging, gentlemen. Hey, and one of these days, maybe I can say, oh, Mike, or Mike on your show, because you guys all, in fact, have shows. Well, just maybe one of these days, well, who knows? But I'll just keep doing these shows. I've done well over into the 500, going on to 1,000 at least since the year 2000. So I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. I'll just keep adding. And I wanted to also add that there's a lot of things that we don't understand. And you ask about solutions. What are we going to do about this? Well, I've thrown in, these people should be arrested. Well, you know, who are you going to call? Who's going to do that? I don't know. But if we just say it with enough positive energy, it will happen. It's the same thing as putting energy on something that you don't want to happen. And if you focus on it, it will. So you just take your focus and put it on something you want to happen. But True, I also wanted to compliment you highly on the information that you dispensed and put out with your other guest, Dr. Millar, that was on this past week, about the lithium orientate. I mean to tell you, I really got myself an education, and then I realized what you were trying to tell everybody. This is something that, in fact, will repair neuron damage, whether it's in the brain or whether it's in the spinal cord, wherever it may be. You can actually repair damages done by pharmaceutical drugs, abusive drugs, any number of things, including, if I recall what your discussion was the Alzheimer's and the Parkinson's, probably dementia, these types of things can actually be reversed. And I just want to personally thank you for bringing that information forward. Have I ever got a really good tool right now to work with? Plus the salt that you talked about and the sources. And see, I believe in that. But it's when there's just one source and you can only get it here, and I get it from the moon. I got the spaceship that goes to the moon and gets it, so you can only get it here. I don't buy it in a heartbeat. What you, in fact, have identified is the resource and why we need it and why the environment's so replete of it. And that's why we can't get that as a mineral, which is a nutrient. And as I recall, you said in the periodic table, that is, in fact, that's the second in the periodic table of elements, right under hydrogen. Right. And, you know, if Hunter would listen, that's got to be extremely unique in this world, because we are just our chemistry.
And just like I said, I was just preparing my newsletter and sending it out, and I'd like to just equate it to the Energizer Bunny. You know, just keeps on going. Well, what powers those batteries is lithium, and now there's lithium ion rechargeable batteries that are just so incredible because they really don't ever run down. Once you recharge them, they just have a limited life. They're saying now. Lithium is really being a hot research topic by the big pharmaceuticals because they're not going to promote the lithium water soluble structure, Mike, because there's no money in it. Lithium is
can't patent it.
It's patented by God right now. It's one of
right.
he's a patent holder and he's it's there for the. Benefit of mankind, and it gives up those electrons so easily, and that's what the body needs to repair and regenerate, especially in the bone marrow, especially in your neuron pathways that have been damaged by too much jaywalking and being hit by Obama's cars. Ours.
And I've got this sort of a simplistic method. In fact, in my own mind, it tells me. If, in fact, there are damages going to be caused by these nano shots, I'm just calling them nano shots because of what you also discovered, what's in the Schrins, as a coating in there that, in fact, becomes dislodged and goes into the bloodstream with the shot and to the tissue. That's the nanobot technology right there. If it does make its way to your brain, which I understand based on what you were saying, and your guest, it will make it there. Now, if that's the case, it's going to, in fact, damage your own neuron and your neural network.
Yeah,
but now, in fact, my mind tells me this lithium orientate might be able to absolutely repair that damage done by these little microscopic devices.
Well, absolutely. And you look at Dr. Malara brought in and shared with me... fill a virtually complete floppy disk of information. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of studies being done and completed. That's just amazing. One study in particular showed the increased lifespan of the nematodes that were just 75-80% in longevity. So it protects the cell as an antioxidant. But get this, they actually had taken mice and injected them with brain tumor cells and then did the radiation on those cells and tissues. What normally would just really cause the mice and rats to have problems in their maze tests, right? After that, then being dosed with the lithium, they repaired literally in 60 minutes. Phenomenal, report. So
that is,
yeah,
that's some of the most impressive things I've heard for a very long time, Doctor. And as you said, you know, it's the mineral. It's this mineral, and you just in fact don't understand how important that is. But I think today. We all need to pay attention to what is being said here because there's not only things that can, in fact, help you, but, in fact, reverse the damage that's already been done. But it's not to just humans. It's to all life forms.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
Well, gentlemen, we're out of time.
Well, good night.
I want to thank you, and maybe on an upcoming show we can come up with a better use for pelosium as well. With that, I say goodnight to you both. True, I will put Wednesday down on my schedule, and looking forward to that. So that's
thank
on republicbroadcasting.org.
Good night, folks.
All right. Well,
good night. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night. Folks, that about wraps it up with tonight's special guests, Dr. A. Truant and Dr. Mike Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting at Evident Footprints as well as blogtalkradio.com. And I want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us tomorrow when my special guest will be Ms. Allison Jones, and we'll be talking about her vaccine research. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.